Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Chaplains have been a part of the military since the beginning of this nation. Our nation's leaders have seen the necessity of a religious support based on the Bible. That is, it seems until recently, Christian chaplains are losing their religious freedom. My guest today is retired General Douglas Lee. He was retired from the U.S. Army Reserves and is with Chaplains Alliance. Thanks, General, for being with us.
Great to be here today. Thank you.
What's the purpose of the Chaplains Alliance?
Chaplain Alliance is a group of endorsers. Endorsers are those that verify that a person is a legitimate faith group representative or clergyman. And we exist to preserve the rights of chaplains and those that they serve. That's the bottom line, religious liberty of chaplains and those that they serve.
Okay, so it's a group of endorsers, and you said to make sure that they're legitimate. Was that the word that you used in your
Yes,
purpose?
You can't be a chaplain in the military, VA, Bureau of Prisons, many, many, many civilian locations like hospitals and so on, unless you are endorsed by a recognized faith group endorser.
Okay,
so
interesting.
The Department of Defense has recognized about 200 faith groups, and I am one of those endorsers. And we ensure for the government, because they don't get involved in who's ecclesiastically qualified, we let the government know that this person is a legitimate clergyman in our group.
So how can the atheist, I mean, there's been a push to get atheist chaplains, which is oxymoronic, but would they be successful in doing that because there's no endorser, or they're trying to get endorsers for atheism?
Well, that's a very good question, and they are trying to establish an atheist chaplaincy. One of the problems that they're having, although they're trying every which way to get around the rules, is that that all legal documents, military policy documents, and law says that chaplains exist to provide religious support. And so at the moment, the atheist community is having a bit of a difficulty with that. And along with that has to come a 501(c) designation, a nonprofit. They have to have a sacred text. They have to have a training facility in order to get all those approvals, but they're trying. They are trying, but they do not have an endorser yet, but they are trying.
But it sounds like they have to break every single rule in the books to be able to do that.
Well, it seems like it, but as we look around our country, we see a lot of rules being broken.
Yeah, the world is totally going crazy. There's no doubt about that. And the military's, it's now Fort Jackson, South Carolina, right? The training, the central training
all
location?
All the chaplains from the Army, Navy, Air Force are all trained at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. The Air Force and Navy also have some adjunct facilities at Maxwell Air Base and in Newport, Rhode Island for chaplain training.
Because I know our son, who's a chaplain's assistant in the Navy, had to go to Fort Jackson when he
That's
did his training.
Okay. That's correct.
Okay.
To be a chaplain assistant, to be in that particular field, yes, you have to go to chaplain school to get your they call it religious program specialist training for the Navy. And the Army goes there, and so does the Air Force chaplain assistants.
Okay. Yeah, the Navy guys are told to all kind of hang together while they're on base.
That's right.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
But as we see the situations, especially even before the Supreme Court decision in June, forcing all 50 states to legalize so-called same-sex marriage, we saw attacks on chaplains even prior to that with Mickey Weinstein and his attacks, and he's even recently come out and said that any chaplain who does not believe in so-called same-sex marriage should be booted out. I mean, that's in essence what he said. How successful?
That's in essence what he said. That's right.
How successful? I mean, like you said, as we can see, the world's going crazy, and this administration's at the head of the parade, it seems like. But how successful can he be in enforcing that on the military, for enforcing the DOD to kick out all so-called non-compliant chaplains?
Well, he says a lot of things he'd like to do. And he's very good at making threats. It's kind of his job to threaten suits, and to most recently he threatened to sue any chaplain who would speak against homosexuality from the pulpit. Now, that's his threat. I think he'd have a very difficult time pursuing that, thankfully, because we still have a First Amendment that's in place, and you simply cannot tell a chaplain what to preach, how to pray, how to counsel. They are there to represent their faith group. By the way, Diane, maybe I could just pause for a moment and just explain to your audience that one of the key things chaplains do is to, I'll use Army lingo, provide or perform religious support for the troops. Any troop that comes their way is given assistance. When a chaplain provides religious support, it works kind of like this. Let's say that I, Chaplain Lee, am approached by a person not of my faith group. Let's just say five Wiccans. And the Wiccans say, Chaplain Lee, could you help us organize a Saturday night prayer circle in the woods behind the chapel? Well, I may not personally agree with what they want to do, but our First Amendment declares that every American citizen has a right to freely exercise their faith. So Chaplain Lee will say, sure, I'll provide for your First Amendment rights. I will. How many rocks do you need? Do you need trees? Do you need chairs? Pardon me, I have a truck in the background here. What do you need to exercise your faith? And I'll provide for them. But plug in Jew, Muslim, another Protestant group that you might not agree with. You would always provide for their free exercise right. But a chaplain will not perform with them because he cannot faithfully represent his faith group if he performs with the Wiccans. What I mean by that is preach, teach, counsel, marry, bury. So anyway, a lot of people think that chaplains are supposed to be some kind of generic entity that you know, preaches everywhere to anyone, anytime, and so on. But chaplains wear two hats. They wear a hat of their faith group, and they wear a hat of a commissioned officer.
Yeah, that's definitely. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, just what's remarkable about that is for the last 240-plus years, that has worked amazingly well in our country. A wonderful example of tolerance and religious diversity, working together with people of other faiths. It's really worked well. People like Mikey Weinstein don't seem to understand that that's how it works, and they believe if you speak your mind or speak what your faith is, you're somehow in contrary to the separation of church and state. Mikey says a lot of things, but I want to just clarify that perform and provide in case somebody's curious about how chaplains operate.
Yeah, definitely, because the implication is that, or the view portrayed is that chaplains are to comply with, or, you know, serve all, which you're saying they would serve all,
even
Wiccans or what, any other faith group, but they are there to represent their faith group. That's what the chaplain's job is. So even though they would be tolerant and even help set up a worship for whomever, but they themselves would not participate in that worship.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And that's Catholics don't invite Protestants to do their mass.
Right. Well, true. That makes sense to me. I mean, who would want someone who doesn't believe what you believe come and lead a worship service? That makes no sense. So.
That's right. And if a person comes to us and we can't provide for them spiritually somehow because either they don't want it or we don't match their views, we will try to find somebody who can assist them. That's always a chaplain that does that every week. He's finding someone to assist someone that he either is not able to talk to theologically, or maybe there's some other issue related to that. And chaplains have been doing that for anybody who comes their way ever since the chaplaincy was created by George Washington.
So I know you've seen a lot of changes since you first entered the armed forces and throughout your career, and, you know, now that you're retired, you can look back on that and you can see the changes that are taking place even now. And why do you think there's such a big push to completely change who a military chaplain is today?
Well, I think there's a push from a small minority, but as we know, small minorities often seem to get the most press and so on these days.
Because a lot of times they're the last.
But one answer, there are several answers to your question, I think, but one of them is simply that America has is denied or falling away from its Judeo-Christian roots.
No, that's true.
Whoever you were at the beginning of America's founding, you might not have been a Christian, but you had a sense that there were really 10 commandments that were valuable.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't 10 suggestions. You know, it was good not to lie. You could shake somebody's hand. That was your trust.
Right.
And there was a sense, even from George Washington and many of the other founding fathers, that they understood that the values of the Judeo-Christian worldview really was critical and to men's success. And so today, why are some of the threats coming to military folk and so on? It's a public institution that is seeing the decline of those Judeo-Christian values. And you see it not only in the military. Look across the land at the racial issues today and the sexual issues,
mm-hmm.
and you just see a very rapid departure from the kind of positive, exciting dynamics that God set up for marriage and for the boundaries of sexual expression. Another reason some of this is happening today is just because the LGBT community really wants to do away with any boundaries related to sexuality.
Right.
And so transgender issues, you know, it's not going to get any better. And the military is, in one sense, a recipient of the changing cultural values. And we pray that God might do something about that and bring a sense of spiritual revival to our nation. But that's a short answer to a question that probably has many facets to it.
Well, that is true. As we see America fall away from, like you're saying, a Judeo-Christian heritage, the ripple effects are
very much,
you know, they're just unending. And we see kids in school being told that this is not a Christian nation, and, you know, not allowed to corporately pray or read the Bible and such, and being taught a revised version of the United States history, and coming away thinking that the country is, that the United States is bad. And we're suffering through that, because if we don't know where we've come from, we don't know who we are. And there's a lot of people out there searching to find out who they are and to find out who the United States is as a nation.
That's right. It's
troubling. And we see, and no, way back when, President Obama said that the legalization of same-sex marriage would not have an impact on the military, and that there'd be no chaplain that would. Actually, back in the end, he said that there would be no same-sex weddings on military bases. I believe he said that back a couple of years ago when he first announced his support, his evolution, and now his support for so-called same-sex marriage. But we see, you know, to the point where military bases are chapels are the scenes of same-sex so-called weddings, and chaplains under pressure to not preach against homosexuality, to not define it or describe it as a sin. And a recent one was a chaplain Motter in that situation, where in my view he was set up by his chaplain's assistant, who just happened to be homosexual. But, you know, chaplains, are they beginning to feel that they have to walk very softly when it comes to this issue and be very careful what they say?
By the way, it wasn't Chaplain Motter's chaplain assistant. It was a young officer just out of the Naval Academy that was assigned temporarily to that office for some reason unknown to me.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it was assistant. Okay.
He was a young officer. Maybe sometimes chaplain offices are populated with people awaiting a new assignment. I mean,
they
chaplain says, well, I can use them. I don't know all the details there, but the jury's still out on that,
uh-huh.
and the Navy is still trying to figure out, by the way, what's going to happen there with Chaplain Motter, his commander, and maybe even that young officer. But what you touched on there is a subject that's very important, because what has happened, in my opinion, since the Don't Ask, Don't Tell decision, is that a culture of fear has been cast over all the military.
Yeah.
And the culture of fear is, especially, I think, in the minds of many commanders and senior enlisted folk who don't know where the religious lines are anymore, and who don't, who are worried that they better not get their name in the news about something, lest their career be impacted. When I was in the military, you always had a helpful fear of your commander and, you know, all the generals and so on.
Right.
But today the fear is much, much different. For you have a fear of who you're going to offend next.
Mm.
And I have one of my chaplains once got a vitriolic email from another sailor in this case, who thought it was awful that on the command staff, out of the command staff and out of the government computers was an announcement for the Vacation Bible School for the summer coming up. He just couldn't believe that would happen with this, because of separation of church and state. And how can this happen? I'm just disgusted and offended.
And the chaplain made the announcement? The chaplain made the announcement?
The chaplain, working through the staff,
okay,
sent out an email because it was... you see, the religious program is a commander's program. It's not the chaplain's program. The commander, whatever unit, whatever service, owns the religious program. The commander is responsible for the religious nourishment of his troops or her troops, and uses the chaplains to advise him on that, carry out programs, and so on. The good news on that particular story, the bad news is that there was just this terrible offense on the part of this young, this officer. And you see more people who claim they're offended by announcements like that. The commander, in this case, was a wise person and said, look, I want my troops to know what's out there to help them and encourage them. And if you don't want to go to the Vacation Bible School or send your kids there, you don't have to send them.
Wow.
But other commanders in a similar situation, I fear, would have thought, oh, dear, I better respond to this, lest I cause a big ruckus here on my base. And it's amazing how many senior leaders do respond with a knee-jerk reaction, in my case. There was a recent issue of a young female Marine who had scripture taped to her computer, and her, I believe it was her immediate supervisor, just simply didn't like it. And I don't think anybody was offended, but he was offended and ordered her to remove them. She didn't remove them. She should have sought some help at that point, because she eventually got busted two ranks for disobeying a direct order. That particular boss, without me knowing and claiming to know all the details, seems to have taken advantage of the culture of fear there and just decided that he couldn't have a scripture verse taped to your computer to encourage you during the day. That was somehow an offense to him and to others.
So,
culture of fear. There are chaplains who are, thankfully, and maybe this is the vast majority of them, are not afraid. They're bold. They're going to go ahead and represent their faith group. They're going to take care of the troops. They're going out there and doing what they can. But you know, we're all human. In the back of your mind, you wonder, well, what'll happen if I preach on a biblical view of marriage next Sunday?
Yeah.
Of course they wonder that.
Mm-hmm.
And I fear that since I believe there is a live Satan, that he will tempt good chaplains to just avoid certain passages lest they somehow get in trouble, a culture of fear.
Yeah, and other pastors are facing the same types of situation now with the Supreme Court decision.
Absolutely they are. Yeah. Now, you can't force a chaplain in the military to do anything against his faith group. A chaplain cannot be forced to marry anybody that's against their faith tenets, homosexual or not. And you can't force a chaplain. You can't tell him what to preach. You can't tell him how to pray. People do try that. But you can't do that. In the current setting, the First Amendment still protects chaplains in that way.
Okay.
And so that's the good news. That's the good news.
That's the good news.
But there's still a culture of fear out there, which people need to be praying for their chaplains and and military folk, Christian or not, that they will respect each other and allow people to share their views, and that Christians especially will be able just to say that they live for God. Just this last week, there was a news article of a Air Force fighter pilot woman, a female fighter pilot with a distinguished career. It was an article in the base newspaper, and at the end of the article, she just said she just lives to glorify God, and it was just a nice little brief testimony of her worldview. And Mikey Weinstein just got all over that and thought it was just awful that she could share her faith like that. He goes on to rant in other ways, but culture of fear. Thankfully for that pilot, she was not afraid to express her faith and give credit to God for her job and the excitement of it and all that sort of thing.
Well, that's neat. I wonder what Weinstein did in the military. And I know he was in the Air Force. I wonder what he did in the Air Force. Anyway.
Do not know. Yeah. I believe he was a lawyer. I think he went to law school and then... but he was an Air Force Academy grad. You know, I don't really know the answer to that question. I assumed he went to law school and became a lawyer. But maybe that came later.
And he's now using that law school training to harass the military, especially the Air Force, since he's an Air Force veteran. But
he is. Yeah. He is. And he also was worked for the Reagan White House. And bio is on the Internet. But he somehow believes there's what he calls an evangelical conspiracy to not, if not take over, at least be the main voice in the military. He just can't stomach it that somebody would express their faith and be in the military.
Does he not know the history? I know you can't answer this, but he needs to read the history of our military, for sure. So you know.
Well, he claims he's an expert at it, so.
he claims that. So we definitely need to be praying for our military. Are there any efforts in Congress to protect the military? Chaplains especially, yeah.
Yeah, the key law that's been in place now for 2 years is the National Defense Authorization Act of 14 and 15, in which troops, chaplains and otherwise, all troops are given the right to express themselves and have a conscience. There's a conscience clause in there to protect their conscience. And I wish I had it memorized. I don't at the moment here. But the National Defense Authorization Act is a very good declaration of Congress that gives protection. However, it also offers the clause, words to the effect that as long as good order and discipline is not affected. And that particular clause can be used personal discretion of anybody interpreting what's going on.
The
good news is that Congress is paying attention to this and that the National Defense Authorization Act was passed with that clause in it. President Obama said a couple of years ago they didn't think it was necessary and thought it was not helpful, but Congress voted it it's in the law.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's right, and he signed it, and that's good.
Does that have to be added each year or every 2 years when it's reauthorized?
Well, it once it's in the law, it can only be taken out, I suppose, or changed. But it's there. There. It doesn't have to be. Renewed every year.
Each time. Okay, fantastic. How can folks contact you guys?
Well, Chaplain Alliance is chaplainalliance.org, and chaplainalliance.org, and they can find us. Just Google us, Chaplain Alliance for Religious Liberty, and you'll get our website, and you can help us pray for us. Pray for the military folk who are endeavoring just to simply serve their country.
Yeah.
Because like all Americans, chaplains and service members should be free to live out their faith even while serving in the military.
Absolutely, they should.
And they're willing to die for that freedom.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
So we need prayers. I would also encourage people to pray for Mikey Weinstein. For as I say, if a Saul can become a Paul, a Mikey can become a Michael.
That's quite true. That's very good. I like that. Hey, thanks so much for taking time to be with us, and we'll definitely be praying for the military and the whole situation that they're facing, the changes in the culture, you know, now with the transgender issue. We which is a whole different ball of wax. I would definitely be proud of them, and I encourage our listeners to go to your website.
Chaplain Alliance for Religious Liberty.
Okay, Chaplain Alliance for Religious Liberty?
Correct.
.org.
Correct.
Okay, appreciate it, and you take care, General Lee. Appreciate
Blessings.
It.
Have a great day.
You
Thank
too.
Your work.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.